name changing is a non-issue. No matter what you want to do, if you want to change your last name when you get married, or you don't want to change your last name, or you want to hyphenate your last name, or you want to combine your guys' last names into like a whole new name that you create, it's honestly whatever the fuck you want to do. Welcome back to Third Times Me. I'm your host, Chris Zervis. As always, if you're new, welcome. If you're returning, thank you so much for taking some time out of your busy week to hang out with me and hear what I have to say and process and think and do some growth work. I am also a self-empowerment coach, and I specialize in helping people break unhealthy relationship cycles and prioritize their personal growth. So that's what we're here to talk about today. On Third Times Me, we discuss escaping and healing from unhealthy relationships, leading a life guided by healthy boundaries, and just really unapologetically prioritizing yourself and your happiness. As a self-empowerment coach, it is my number one priority to help all of my clients improve their relationship with themselves. I truly believe through my life experiences, through all the relationships that I've navigated throughout my life, through all the guests that I've talked to and interacted with and had on my show, through just all the people I've met in the world and all the golden nuggets of wisdom that I have collected over the years, I really deeply believe that having a solid to your core relationship with yourself, knowing your self-worth, knowing what makes you happy, knowing your morals and your values, and prioritizing self-love is so crucial in order for you to have healthy relationships with other people in the world. And I'm not just talking about romantic partnerships. I'm talking about friendship, being able to also show up at work, family members, and romantic partners. It's really everything. You have to prioritize your relationship with yourself. So that is my goal through this podcast and through my self-empowerment coaching business, to help improve people's relationship with themselves. When it comes to this podcast, some episodes are super spicy and a little bit naughty, and other episodes are vulnerable and soul-stirring. I've got a little bit of everything on this show for you guys, because the journey to exploring yourself is a beautiful roller coaster ride, and I'm here to be real about it every step of the way. So for this week, I have another solo episode for you guys. This is probably going to be the last week for a little while that you're going to have a solo episode from me. So enjoy this week's episode. I've got some really awesome guests lined up that I'm going to be recording with over the next couple of weeks to batch some content for the future weeks of the show. So stay tuned, get caught up, enjoy this week's episode. And before we get into the episode for today, I just want to let all of you guys know that the biggest way you can support the show and support my coaching business is by simply just doing one thing: sharing an episode. Sharing one of the episodes that you've listened to that resonated with you, or maybe you were listening to it and it made you think of someone in your life that could benefit from the content and what was discussed on the show. So simply just like shooting the link over or dropping it in one of your friends' DMs that you think would enjoy the show and could benefit from it and could help them along their journey and their life in some capacity, that is the biggest way to help spread the word about the show. Additionally, if you can just leave a lovely little 5-star rating on whatever listening platform that you are tuning in right now, that would be greatly appreciated. I love you guys all so much. And that is just really the best way to get the word out there and get some more people tuning in. I really want to build this community up and would love to continue to bring on amazing guests for you guys. And the greater the reach that I can expand this show and listening base, then the even more incredible guests that I will be able to bring onto the show. Okay, so for this week's episode, I am going to be sharing 7 things that I've learned about engagements. And this is coming to you from a runaway bride who's on her 3rd, you heard that correctly, 3rd engagement. And don't worry, guys, I'm not implying that anything is going to be going wrong with Alex and I. This one is sticking, I promise you guys that. And I can so confidently commit to that because I have been through some shit and I have been through so much in my romantic life that I have learned and really taken the time to process and digest and have so many now hindsight learnings from my past relationships, specifically engagements, which is what we're talking about today. And I want to pass on this knowledge to other people out there because there's so much mixed information and a lot of honestly not good information out there that is shared with people that is articulated to be quote unquote normal or to be expected when you're in an engagement period to be married. I want to debunk a lot of things, and I want to also just give you guys my personal experience and my thoughts and recommendations on things that I think are healthy and normal to experience and to look out for in an engagement, and things that are also potentially red flags and things that are not normal and not healthy. So I'm going to discuss today 7 things and what is the healthy version of that, and then what is the not healthy version of that, because these are specific things that I am pulling from my life experience in having gone through 3 engagements and having experienced 3 proposals, and all of them looked incredibly different, but 2 in particular were not healthy relationships. And so what those engagements looked like compared to the one that I'm in now is really just a night and day difference. So I really took some time to think through and journal and take some notes on what has been so incredibly different for me in the last year of my engagement, with my wedding coming up next month. What has looked so incredibly different compared to the last 2 engagements? So let's get into it. Number 1, you should not be surprised when you get proposed to. And before I say any more, I just want to clarify that I'm all for the moment of the proposal itself being a surprise. What I'm talking about is the fact that the proposal is coming. That should not be a surprise. When Alex proposed to me, it was something that I knew was coming. I didn't know exactly when, but we had had lots of conversation leading up to the moment that he decided to propose. And yes, it was a surprise. Alex and I had had intentional conversations about what a commitment looked like to us. Did we want to get engaged? If so, what did that look like? What did that mean? And was that something that we both saw for ourselves in the future? And if so, like how soon down the road did we feel that we would be ready for that? So we had had intentional, honest, adult, very mature conversations leading up to Alex proposing. And so even though it happened a little bit before I thought, I had my suspicions that it was going to be a little bit further down the road. Like I was expecting it like a couple months after when he actually did propose, but I was fully in it, fully ready for it, and had already in my mind said that I wanted to commit myself to this man in my head and my heart. Like I just knew that something was so incredibly different about my relationship with Alex and about Alex himself as a partner, as a man, as a human in my life. And I knew that he was someone I wanted to commit to and build a life with. So just to recap that point, totally supportive and get really excited. I love surprises. Very supportive of the proposal moment itself being a surprise, but the actual fact of the proposal taking place should not be a complete shock and surprise. My number 2 point here is there should be no possessiveness with the ring. A ring is a symbol of someone's love and should not be used as a means to mark your territory, make sure it's known that you're off limits, try to control who you are talking to when you're not with your partner and out in the world. And it's actually not even so much my past fiancés, but my first partner, my first boyfriend that I had in college got me a promise ring. So not even an engagement ring, but he got me a promise ring like a year into our relationship, but it looked like a legitimate engagement ring. It was like a little diamond. I think it was silver. And it was definitely for him a way to mark his territory and establish possessiveness over me. And it made me super uncomfortable and cringy every time I'd wear it because I didn't feel like it was something that I want. It wasn't something that I wanted. And I was super young at the time. But even like later on with one of my ex-fiancés, one in particular, there'd be a time or two where I would like not have my ring on because I went to the gym, or like maybe just like didn't feel like wearing jewelry on my hands for whatever reason because I was cooking or whatnot. And he would get a little spicy with me now and again if he caught me without my ring on and would accuse me of, you know, like question me and like kind of put me on the spot. And so that's something that I have definitely have had some triggers with. And that's something that Alex and I had very open conversations about before we even looked at rings and long before he proposed. And he asked me straight up because he knew my history. He listened to the show and he knew my past experiences with my previous engagements. And he asked me straight up, like, is a ring something that you're interested in? Is that something that would be comfortable to you? And he made it so clear to me that to him, it was a symbol of his love for me and our relationship and his commitment to me, but it was not to ever be seen as a possessive thing or a right to me or anything super unhealthy like that. So that's something that we had very open conversations about in the beginning. And him and I have even discussed, like, you know, if there's times and moments where, like, you don't feel like wearing your ring for whatever reason, like you're, you know, just not wearing jewelry that day or like working on your motorcycle or like going about, like doing whatever, traveling, don't want to have it on you because you're traveling, like whatever it is, like there's never once been a awkward moment between Alex and I in the over year that we've been engaged now where one of us hasn't worn a ring and it's been a weird thing and something that has made one of us self-conscious or jealous or set up a red flag. So that's super important. Number three, something that is really healthy and you should expect in a healthy engagement is not feeling rushed to get married. It can be a big red flag if there is anyone in the relationship that is pushing for the wedding to happen quickly. It's like totally normal to get excited. And maybe some people don't want to have a super long engagement. You've been together for a long time and you're ready to do the damn thing. Like, I totally get that. And it's all about y'all being on the same page. But if you are in a relationship where the other person is really pushing for the wedding to happen a lot quicker than you're comfortable with, that's something that I would definitely do a pulse and a check on and have a conversation with the other person. Because in my experience, that is a big red flag. My ex-fiance number two, even when things were going south very quickly and there was a lot of sketchy shit going on, I found out later that he had been having an affair. But like during that time, he was still pushing for us in the midst of the beginning of the pandemic to have our wedding. And everyone else was canceling their weddings. And he was pushing so hard because he, in his words were, I remember this moment like it was yesterday. I remember him standing in the kitchen at our house in Austin. And I remember him saying, all of our friends have been looking forward to this wedding. I don't want to disappoint our friends. This wedding and this celebration was not about throwing a party for our besties. This was a commitment and a celebration of our love, and we were not in a good place. And the fact that he still wanted to push through, regardless of where we were at in our relationship and things being super off and tense and sketchy between us, he still wanted to push through and have this wedding. For what? Big red flag. So there has not been one moment in my current relationship where things have felt rushed or pressured. I mean, I remember when Alex and I first got engaged and we knew that there was a couple weddings we had coming up to attend for our other friends getting married. So we intentionally decided to hold off on our celebration until the following year, which is now 2024. And the time has flown by and I'm so glad that we didn't try to push and like squeeze it in last year so that we could get married within a year, because to us, it just didn't matter. And we wanted to take our time. We wanted to save up. We wanted to make sure we didn't put ourselves in debt. We wanted to make sure that we could do it right. We wanted to scatter it, you know, safely between other friends of ours and our people in our community that were getting married so that everyone that we invited could hopefully attend. So that's definitely something you want to see in a healthy engagement. Number four, both parties should be involved in the planning process of the wedding, of whatever celebrations you are having. Both people should be involved. I don't care about the gender roles. I don't care about who has the money, who works more, who whatever, like both people should be involved. My first engagement, this was not the case. And that was something that irked me so much. And I think really is a big part of what pushed me over to calling off that engagement. Like not the sole reason, but like leading up to it, it was like pulling teeth to get my ex-fiance number one to get involved with the wedding planning process. And it was just incredibly frustrating. I remember when I had hired a friend of mine at the time, someone I knew that had just started off her wedding planning business, and I hired her and her business partner to be our day of coordinators and wedding planners. And I was so excited about this experience. It's just, I love planning events. I love decorating. I love hosting. And so this was like such a fun opportunity for us. And I remember we met up at like a little restaurant or brewery or something with them to like brainstorm like the initial planning stages. And I remember just like how unenthusiastic my ex was to go. And he barely contributed anything, didn't really talk the whole time, was just completely absent and not really there. He just gave me the vibe like this was just not something he wanted to be bothered by and like not something that he expected to have to take any ownership of. And that really just did not set well with me. So I'm not of the mindset that just because you're the bride, and like sometimes traditionally, I think there's this pressure on brides to be the ones planning all the things, but like gone are those days, guys. Like both parties should be involved, no matter what your gender is, no matter what your role is in that relationship. This should be something that you guys are doing together, and obviously divide and conquer in a way that makes sense for you. But Alex and I, as an example, have been like hand in hand making every single decision together for our celebrations. And it's just been so much more fun and so much more us. Like, I don't want to go into our wedding day feeling like it's a me celebration. I want Alex to have his touches and me to have my touches and have it be a beautiful thing that's combined both of us having our touches and our energy in it. And that's exactly what it is. Number five, last name changes, or whether or not you, especially as the women, I'm talking to my lady friends out there, lady listeners out there, name changing is a non-issue. No matter what you want to do, if you want to change your last name when you get married, or you don't want to change your last name, or you want to hyphenate your last name, or you want to combine your guys' last names into like a whole new name that you create, whatever it is, this should be a non-issue. If I were to get married, I always felt hesitant on wanting to take someone else's last name. I've just had such an attachment to my last name. It's a unique last name. It's connected to my Greek roots. And I just have a lot of pride in my last name. It's me. I've like, you know, been called this since my whole life. Like when I played sports, when I was in school, like all of my coaches called me Zervis. It's a part of my identity. And I've never been one to be comfortable with the idea of changing my last name. And there's been partners I've had in the past that were not super cool with that. And I just encourage everyone to have those conversations before you get married. And if it's something that you're on the fence about, because I have a lot of friends that have gone through this process and have changed their names, and it's come up in conversation that they kind of don't super love it. Like they miss their original name. They miss their old name. And it's like, that shouldn't even be a thing. So have those conversations ahead of time. Make sure you guys are on the same page about it. And like, it's honestly whatever the fuck you want to do. If your partner is making you feel bad or guilty or pulling like the card of like, oh, if we have kids, then like, that's going to be confusing. I remember one of my exes said that to me. He was like, oh, well, you know, that's fine if you want to do that when we are just married, just us. But once we have kids, like we need to reevaluate this because this is going to be really confusing for them at school. If they have two last names, like kids aren't going to know what to call them by. And it's like, no, dude, fuck off. Like, yeah, that's bullshit. It's not a big deal. Kids will be fine. And by the way, I don't even think I want kids. So not sure why that was a conversation. And that leads me to my next point, point number six. So learning number six, being on the same page about general life goals and whether or not you want to have a family and have kids. This is something that you for sure need to make sure you're on the same page about before you get married and talk about in an engagement. I think premarital counseling is really incredible, regardless if you're engaged or not, but just any relationship. I'm a huge fan of couples therapy. I remember with my first fiance, he really badly wanted kids. And he told me pretty early on that like that was something that was pretty important to him. And I, at the time, was like pretty, which I've like fluctuated between like, hell no, I don't want kids, and like, maybe potentially, but most likely no. I tend to fall somewhere in between there. And I remember leading up to our wedding, my first fiance leading up to our wedding day, I remember it coming up. oftentimes it would come up in an argument, if I'm being honest. But like, I just remember feeling so frustrated because I did not feel that, frankly, he was mature enough to even seriously consider like having kids at that point in his life. And I did not feel that our relationship was in a place where it would make sense. And it didn't feel like something that was going to be compatible for us as a couple and where we were at. And I remember him telling me like, well, when you get married, things just change. Like you just mature and you change and you just become a dad and things change. No, things do not change. Like you don't just become all of a sudden mature and responsible to be equipped to be a mother or a father and be parents. That's just not how it works. So making sure you're on the same page about these things and being open to, you know, if your minds change, but like getting clear on that. So to be honest with you guys, and this might seem kind of soon for some people, but Alex and I talked about the topic of whether or not we wanted kids on our literal second date. And I'm the one that brought it up because at this point, it was only our second date, but him and I had been talking for a couple months at this point. And if you don't know Alex and I's story, we matched on Hinge. That's where we met, on Hinge, the dating app. And we talked for like 4 weeks before we actually had our first date because I was like traveling and had a bunch of trips and stuff. So all of our communication was over text and voice note leading up to our first date. And so I already knew quite a bit about him before our first date. And then first date hit and like we both were catching feelings super hard for each other. And so for me, I just wanted to like nip it in the butt right away because I knew that I wanted to respect my wishes and that children was not something I was super passionate about. And I knew there was a chance that I would maybe change my mind, but I was not going to entertain a relationship with someone if that was a deal breaker for them because I will not risk, you know, being with someone that's going to wake up one day and regret and resent me because I didn't, you know, provide them something that they wanted with, you know, being on the same page as them with wanting children. So that's something that Alex and I covered very early on in our relationship. And I encourage that of people. And if you haven't discussed those things yet, then like your engagement period is definitely the time to be discussing life goals, you know, just general like missions that you have for your life, what kind of life you see yourself wanting to build. And like I said before, highly recommend premarital or just couples counseling in general to kind of bring up some of these topics if you feel like there's certain things that you need some professional guidance on. And my seventh and final point, and probably the most important, you should be genuinely excited and so happy and feel incredibly safe. I had so much anxiety with my last two engagements. For different reasons, yes, but at the end of the day, they were just not the right people for me. There was a part of me deep inside that in retrospect knew that or was at least concerned about it. And I do believe my body was trying to tell me that through these feelings of anxiety and stress, but I played it off with myself internally as normal because people talk about cold feet being normal with engagement before you get married. They talk about nerves before a wedding being normal. These are things we talk about and see in movies. And I would argue otherwise. You shouldn't feel nervous. I think there's a healthy level of excitement nerves that can happen before a celebration because it's like such a fun, big, special day and you're going to be likely with your friends and family. But there should not be like actual nerves and anxiety going into this. It should be something fun and special. And I know with my current engagement right now, I'm going into this next month just filled up with so much joy and excitement and love. And that's exactly what you should be experiencing if you're engaged. Well, thanks for tuning in. That's seven things that I've learned about engagements from a runaway bride on her third engagement. I would like to also share with you guys one last thing before wrapping up today's episode. I'm actually running a special for the month of March and for March only. So in honor of Women's History Month, I'm offering 20% off your first month of coaching if you sign up in the month of March for at least 30 days of coaching. I'll be dropping a link in the show notes and you can click on that link to book a 45-minute consultation call with me where we can chat more about what your goals are, what your needs are, and see if my coaching program's a good fit for you. But make sure you take advantage of that special because I will not be running the special after the month of March. Thank you so much for tuning in this week. I will see you guys next week.